open your eyes, choking on his breath, choking on his breath, grimace and smile, take a toast with cigarette, he picks your brains, you stub it on his chest, slit his tongue with one fast hand, stuff his mouth with the salty sand, tie his arms with it from his head, and roll him round like a rusty can. Wake up with a hatchet over your head, you wake up with a hatchet over your head.
Sounds crazy, no? But in our little village of Anatevka, you might say every one of us is a fiddler on the roof, trying to scratch out a pleasant, simple tune without breaking his neck. It isn't easy. You may ask, why do we stay up here if it's so dangerous? We stay because Anatevka is our home. And how do we keep our balance? That I can tell you in a word. Tradition!
Tradition! Tradition! Tradition! Tradition! Tradition! Tradition!
Because of our traditions, we've kept our balance for many, many years. Here in Anatevka, we have traditions for everything. How to eat, how to sleep, how to wear clothes. For instance, we always keep our heads covered and always wear a little prayer shawl. This shows our constant devotion to God. You may ask, how did this tradition start? I'll tell you. I don't know. But it's a tradition. And because of our traditions, every one of us knows who he is and what God expects him to do.
Who day and night must scramble for a living, feed a wife and children, say his daily prayers, and who has the right as master of the house to have the...
Hey guys.
Hello, welcome everybody.
Welcome to tonight's broadcast of Mona and Noah Save the World.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
This is Mona and Noah Save the World, and you are listening to 91.5 WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
Tradition!
We started off with a bang, and I'm really happy about it. The show before us was playing some artsy alternative vibes. We were like, wow, this music is... And then, you know, we just had the mood change, and it was good. So who wants to guess what we're talking about tonight?
What could it be before this Thanksgiving that's coming up and all these holidays that are coming up?
Does it rhyme with reputation? I can't think of anything. Does it rhyme with...
Does it rhyme with anything?
It rhymes with anything.
Condition? It's tradition.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so we're talking about tradition.
Today we're going to be talking about traditions, rituals, holidays, norms.
Societal norms, kind of.
Family, friends.
Yeah, that's a big...
They all kind of...
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
It is.
And we have a very special guest with us.
Yeah, very exciting news.
So speaking of family...
Yes.
We love to bring our family on the show, and we have... Noah's sister,
the one and only Rebecca Mills,
yes.
Coming to us from New York. She's not in New York at the moment. She's here in the studio, which is extremely exciting.
Amazing.
Originally kind of from New York. Introduce yourself better than I can.
Hi, I'm Rebecca. I'm Noah's oldest sister. I'm a senior at Barnard College and a first year at Columbia's Master's of International Affairs. And
yes.
I'm here for the weekend.
Woo!
Amazing. Is this your first time at Tufts?
Yes, this is my first time visiting Noah at college.
Aww.
Yeah, it's exciting.
What did you guys do today?
We went to the MFA and we got lunch and then we came here and he gave me a tour.
Well,
amazing.
There's still more tour. You haven't seen all of campus.
Okay, what did you see on campus?
Not much.
We walked a lot in the cold.
Sort of the academic quad, you know, okay, Hill Hall, Hillel.
I love that.
All that jazz.
Beautiful. Well,
yeah.
What do you think? Should we jump into it?
Sure, of course.
Let's ask for Rebecca's opinion on Thanksgiving. Just give us your Thanksgiving spiel. When people are like, oh, you know, like, oh my God, like, it's Thanksgiving. Like, what's your vibe? Are you like, yeah, I love it? Or are you like, ah?
Okay.
Somewhere in between.
Yeah.
I love the food. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one of the Mills children, there's five of us, who actually, I think, enjoys Thanksgiving dinner. And the green beans and the cranberries and the mashed potato and the turkey. I absolutely love it. So basically the holiday is food for seven people, but I'm the only one who eats it.
I think that's so funny.
Mona's family has an interesting tradition.
I do have an interesting tradition I'd love to share with the listeners. So my family is Persian, Iranian American. And for Thanksgiving, our tradition is that we have the kind of typical Thanksgiving dinner. We have the turkey, the cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes, etc. But we also have this Persian dish. It's like kind of like a stew. It's like typically rice. It's gonna sound strange. It's like a walnut pomegranate paste kind of thing. But like it's delicious. Like it's so good.
That sounds so good.
And it's like over rice. And usually there's chicken. Usually it's like chicken and the stew and the rice. But we have the Thanksgiving turkey with it. So we like have our rice, we have our fesenjun stew, and then we have like the Thanksgiving turkey, we put it in. And it's a really nice like cultural blend. Everyone, we always like brag about it. We're like, ugh, no one else's Thanksgiving has fesenjun. Like, so yeah, I love Thanksgiving. I just think it's so nice. I guess what my family has always loved about Thanksgiving is that it's less commercialized. Obviously nothing is completely not commercialized.
Black Friday.
I know, but we consider it to be like different than Thanksgiving. We're like, yeah, that's commercialized, but like the actual day itself, like, yeah, you buy a lot of food and like maybe the Macy's Day Parade is commercialized, but
maybe the Macy's Day Parade is commercialized.
Overall, like, okay, how about like, I don't know, like, you can't have Thanksgiving without any of the commercial stuff. Like, you can just, if you ignore Black Friday, if you don't watch the parade, if you just have a lovely meal with your family, you've done Thanksgiving right.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. That's my opinion. You don't like the Macy's parade, Noah? Why doesn't this surprise me?
I mean, like,
I don't think he likes to wake up early enough to watch it.
I feel like you're
sometimes
an early
I wake
riser.
Up. It depends on the day. It depends on the night before,
I think.
If I stay up late doing work or like playing games or something, then there's no way I'm waking up. But if I can go to bed on time, I guess I'll wake up.
Interesting.
I know, I definitely used to watch the Macy's Day Parade. I definitely haven't in the last few years, I don't think. I think it definitely can be novel as like a kid seeing these giant things, especially when it's like TV characters that like you watch like flying through the air. That's exciting, but I know
it does feel a little artificial once you're over the age of like 8.
Yeah.
Maybe 10.
Yeah.
10.
And we normally do a turkey trot or something.
Yeah, we go for a family.
Yeah, we
run,
do family
like,
runs.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
No one wants to
be a
part of.
Well, I know Noah runs, and you run too.
Mm-hmm, I run.
Does your whole family run?
They're all forced to run. Yeah, we all run. It's really fun when we all get out there and race together.
Okay, so would you say that for you guys, the turkey trot is a tradition, like a family tradition?
I don't know. Last year I went to Ireland for Thanksgiving. So.
I feel like it's like a tradition because we've done it a few times, but only because the opportunity has presented itself. Like, I don't think we'd seek it out. Okay. So I feel like it's okay. not a tradition. Okay. It's just a coincidence, kind okay. of.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I know, Noah, you have some mixed opinions on traditions just as a concept.
Yes, definitely. I think we should be very skeptical of okay. traditions. I think traditions allow our brains to get lazy.
Ooh.
And we sort of let ourselves, like,
Ooh.
Fall into these old patterns. And sometimes that's fine. Sometimes that's good. Eating dinner with the family certainly can be great. But some traditions are bad. I mean, it used to be traditions to get into a frat, to, like, do some hardcore
okay,
hazing.
So
and
saying,
nowadays,
yeah.
we try to shut that down as much as we can.
Interesting. So how do you suggest... So you're saying that we should still celebrate the traditions we love, but we should be skeptical and critical
yeah.
of ones that don't work.
Yeah. I mean, every time we realize that we're, like, performing a tradition, kind of, we should be like, do I enjoy this? Do other people enjoy this?
Okay.
Am I just doing this yeah. to do it because I've always done
okay,
it?
Okay, but part of me thinks that there are some traditions that at first you don't like. Like, as a kid, I don't know from experience, but I know a lot of my friends say, like, as a kid, they didn't like going to church every Sunday because they were forced to, and they were like, this is stupid. And then one of my friends was saying that just she kind of came to her own conclusion that she actually did it. Like, even though she was no longer forced to go to church every Sunday, she just does find it kind of comforting, and, like, she has a lot of, you know, issues with the church, and she's not, like, fully, like, on board, but, like, just kind of having that ritual of every Sunday taking some time to reflect and, like, have that space is something she's now really grateful for. But if as a kid her parents were like, ah, you're 5 years old, let's critically think about this tradition, you know, I mean, I guess it is good to instill critical thinking in your children, that's not what I'm saying. But I feel like, what about the traditions that, I don't know, part of me, yeah, I don't know.
I think that's something that's so special about Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving traditions is that you have your family, you have, like, the comfort food, and I think Thanksgiving seems like this idealized tradition of being together, being cozy, and having, like, just tons of food, and it's a holiday that's, like, during the day.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to spend the day with everyone. You're not traveling on that holiday. You're, like, set at home. You know, you're watching a parade. You're, you know, just hanging out, and I think that's something that the tradition of Thanksgiving is really nice because it's all about being together and the process of being together in, like, eating and spending time together.
I agree.
It's fair.
What do you think, Noah?
I think we should play We Are Family in honor of family.
I love that. So wholesome. Let's do it. Enjoy.
Thank you. faith in you and the things you do. You won't go wrong.
Oh no,
this is our family jewel.
So uplifting. Every time I hear that song, I'm in a better mood, no matter how many times I hear it, no matter what the context. So let's talk about family. I feel like family is very intertwined with traditions and holidays, and definitely with Thanksgiving in general. And the holidays in general, and specifically Thanksgiving. So I don't know. I have some thoughts. I know Noah has some thoughts. I don't know what Rebecca's thoughts are. We're gonna hear them. So let's start with our guest. Guests first. Rebecca, what do you think about this culture of, you know, Thanksgiving is for the family, this idea of the family all coming together? I know earlier you seem to be speaking about it in a positive way.
Yeah, I think there's something really special about having a day where family is together. And you just kind of get to relax with each other and hang out. And, you know, especially as we go off to college and we're not always home. Mm-hmm. And it's really nice to have that one day, even if it's not on Thanksgiving, the proper holiday, to just be together and not have anything else to worry about. Mm-hmm. You know, do your assignments the next day.
Yeah.
And, you know, it happens so rarely that as you grow up, you get to really spend time with your family in that capacity. So I think it's something that's really special.
Okay, I'm on Team Rebecca. I thought that was a beautiful way of saying it. That is exactly how I feel. But Noah, I know, is gonna share, even though his sister's here.
No, I came to visit him.
Be devil's advocate,
sure.
Noah.
I think family can be wonderful. I think family has a lot of potential to do a lot of good. I don't think family works for everybody. I don't think we should expect it to work for everybody. I think, sort of like traditions, we should allow ourselves to be skeptical. We shouldn't just assume that families are going to be perfect and that every kid is going to love their parents or that every parent's going to love their kid. We shouldn't just take for granted that, like, oh, just go home to visit your family. Like, what a great time you'll have, because maybe someone's family was bad to them.
So you think that this kind of cultural expectation of I'm going home for Thanksgiving and it's going to be great, you think there's a problem with that?
Or just even I'm going home for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Like I'm going to visit my family. Because people are like, oh, you're going to go visit your family? If people say no, we should be receptive to that and understanding and not sort of pressuring people and be like, oh, why not? Like, do you not like,
okay,
like your
interesting,
family?
Interesting. I feel like, I don't know though, I feel like a lot of times what I see in the culture is that we kind of start with the negative view of the family. You know, there is kind of this idea of quote unquote the perfect American family and like, you know, like we're all gonna have so much fun. But I feel like more often I hear like, ugh, you know, like I have to deal with everyone and like it's gonna be so much. And I think that can be true, and I'm not trying to like, you know, invalidate, there we go. I'm not trying to invalidate anyone's experiences at all. Like, I know some people, as you're saying, genuinely do have, like, issues, but I think that we are in this kind of cultural situation of we just almost give up on trying to make family better.
I think it's really important to remember that family and your relationship with your family is a type of relationship, and we focus on working on different types of relationship with yourself, with your friends, with, you know, whoever, and it is a working relationship with your family.
Yeah, I think, like, I totally agree. Like, I think if you go in thinking, like, this Thanksgiving is gonna be perfect, we're all gonna hold hands and, like, stand in a circle, like, no, of course not. But I do think that we should kind of push people to try to work try to like come to a greater understanding with their families. I don't know.
Yeah, sure thing, definitely. Like,
especially with Thanksgiving and the connotation of having the political discussion or the uncle or the grandparents, and there can be a lot of tension when you go home and you see so many different people who are your family, but you don't agree with their views, but yet, you know, they're still very close to you. And so I think it's especially Thanksgiving is this time where we have to be thankful that we have these people in our life that challenge our views, and we don't have to agree with someone to still be close to them.
Noah?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely value in not surrounding yourself in an echo chamber, but I also think, like, why do I have to be close to this person just because some of our blood is the same? You know, that's sort of, to me, that's like a medieval concept. Like, we're beyond that.
Are you kidding me? I think at the end of the day, family should be there for you. Obviously, again, not everyone's family is like that, but I think we should push ourselves to the standards of, you know what I mean? Like, we should kind of have this expectation that family should be there for you, because it should.
I mean, I think everybody should be there for everybody.
Especially when you say this medieval view of, like, blood being, you know, like this nepotism kind of idea, with the new kind of trend of like doing your genealogy and your DNA and stuff, there is a greater focus on finding people who are related to you by blood and who are your family, and having this connection that extends much further than what family sometimes traditionally means. So I think people are looking for this family connection by blood that
I care more about somebody who I've met once because they live really far away and we have the same last name than a really good friend of mine who I've had many good times with and I've had meaningful interactions with? Why shouldn't I spend more time with them?
I have to say, Rebecca, on this one, I might be more Team Noah. I do think the whole trend of Ancestry.com and finding your DNA stuff is a bit much. It's like, I think we should... And again, people have different definitions of family. Like, not all family is blood related. Like, and I think that that's the family we should be focusing on. I do think it can be problematic when we're trying to, like, kind of search for families and areas, and, you know, instead of focusing on the family you do have, being like, well, I wonder if I have, like, this great uncle in Scotland.
I mean, if you're, like, trying to learn about history, I think there's value there. But if you're like, I'm going to reach out to my, like, great-great-uncle to say hi, like, do
that.
Cool. Go ahead, make a connection.
I'm conflicted.
But it's also important to remember why people want to form that connection.
Why is that?
I think there's definitely renewed interest in forming that connection.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's very interesting.
Well, it is, I mean, it is funny. When my family went to Europe, we saw some quote-unquote family who were, like, third cousins who lived in France. And I had never heard of any of them, but it was kind of special to sit there and be like, even though we don't know each other, even though we don't really speak the same language, like, we were speaking broken Persian and, like, broken English, and they speak French and we speak English, so, like, the broken Persian was, you know, kind of, but it was like, yeah, even though we don't have this shared experience, it's amazing that we are family at the end. And I don't know now I'm back to Team Rebecca. I do think that is special. I think that's so cool to be like, oh my god, like, we're from the same something.
I think you enjoy the hospitality, and like the ancient Romans had this notion where like you would take in anybody, you would like give them the best meal that you like had to offer. And I feel like because our society is so closed today, and like you couldn't knock on somebody's door and be like, I need a place to stay the night, I'm traveling. Like, they'd be like, I don't know you, get away from me.
True.
So I think family is the only place where you can still knock on someone's door and be like, I don't know you, but I do. And so then they let you in, even though you're just as much a stranger.
Interesting. That's a really good point, Noah. That's some deep Noah thoughts. Okay, what do we think of then this idea of friends as family? Friendsgiving... You know,
big fan.
we've had Friendsgivings before, which have been a blast. And I think it's like, you know, having all these families together and all the kids and all the adults, it is something that's really fun too. And especially,
so your Friendsgiving have been with families?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh.
Like family friends.
Mm-hmm. Family friends.
Oh, that's like a whole thing we could discuss forever.
True.
We can get back to that. I have so many questions about that idea. But I'm thinking more of the like friend group Friendsgiving where it's like, mm-hmm. you know, we're just like a group of friends.
Like Galentine's Day.
Yeah, that kind mm-hmm. of idea. I feel like there's an easy answer to this. I was going to say, do we think the two can live in harmony, Friendsgiving, Thanksgiving with family? Obviously, I think the answer is yes. You can just have a bunch.
More Thanksgivings.
The more the merrier, yeah.
Mm, the more turkey, the better.
But what does...
Ooh, eat less turkey. Have a vegan Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God.
Save the planet.
The more cranberries, the better.
Cranberries. Yeah. Cranberries are okay.
Vegan.
We can eat cranberries.
Okay, but I've always thought this idea of quote-unquote family friends is so interesting because it's like, what distinguishes, what like, it's like, are you, you're like making these friends your family? I don't know. It's like, you're like, it's almost like a way of notating like, no, like these aren't just friends. Like, it's like they're family, but like we're not family, but like we're not friends, but like family friends. Anyone? No, is this just me? I've don't know why. I've always just thought it a fascinating idea because it's like, it almost does imply that we do ultimately want a familial bond with people.
Yeah.
Well, I think it also goes back to Noah's idea that, you know, you can make these friends, and family friends are these friends you've accepted as your family, even though you aren't related to them. So I think in a sense we look for that connection with people, mm-hmm. wanting that family, wanting that closeness, wanting a bond with someone, but we also do find that bond in people who aren't related by blood, and we, you know, hold those friendships and family friends really dear too. So there's a combination of both.
I love it.
I think it would be interesting to see the English language evolve to change the meaning of family from one who's related to you by blood to one who is beyond friends with you, kind of.
Yeah.
Because, like,
it's sort of halfway there.
But we definitely, when someone's like, who's your family, you, like, definitely say.
I think there is also a push in, like, public, and at least the public school I went to, there's definitely a push in more inclusive language around families, mm-hmm. instead of saying, you know, tell your parents. It's like, tell your caregivers, which I know at first I was like, that's such a weird word, caregivers. Like, am I being baby, you know, like, am I a babysitter? But it isn't, you know, it is an important concept of like, okay, how do we extend this notion of family? Because not everyone, like you were saying, Noah, like not everyone is like, yes, love my parents, A+, like, good job, you know?
And even like traditional family structures, if a form has like, who's your mom, who's your dad? It's like, maybe I have two moms, maybe I have two dads, maybe I just have one parent, you know, like, maybe it's my grandparents,
but I think
who knows?
I don't know, maybe I'm an optimist, but I do think our culture is accepting, you know, if I were to say to someone, oh, like, are you going home for Thanksgiving? And they're like, oh, I'm actually spending Thanksgiving with my friends. I would not be like, how dare you? I'd be like, okay, there's probably, like, you know, I feel like as long as you're with someone, I hope, mm-hmm. In my heart.
Maybe people don't like anybody, and we should respect that too, though.
But you're supposed to be thankful on Thanksgiving.
You can be thankful for solitude.
That's an interesting idea that Noah was saying. Do you want to talk about being thankful on Thanksgiving?
Sure. We can definitely do that. I'm trying to think if there's any fun music
we can
highlight.
But that song is no longer. We didn't.
That's the way I
No, I think we should. Okay, personally, I think we should play the Macy's Day Parade by Green Day because it's funny, relevant. No?
Yeah. It's about commercialization if you want to talk about that.
We talked about it enough. We're going to play it.
Okay.
it was brought up.
That's good.
Or we could do Family Business by Kanye.
It's up to you.
It's up to Rebecca. What do you want to hear?
Let's do Green Day.
Yeah, let's do Green Day.
Good choice.
Good choice. You definitely made the right choice.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kanye.
This is Macy's Day Parade by Green Day.
Today's a Macy's Day Parade. The night of the living dead is on its way. With the credit report for duty call. It's a lifetime guarantee.
10% more free. Red light special at the mausoleum. Give me something that I need. Satisfaction guaranteed to you. What's the consolation price? Economy size, dreams of hope. When I was a kid, I thought I wanted all the things that I had.
Green Day for your effort. I just love Green Day so much. That was so fun.
That surprises me a little bit.
Really? I think it's so like edge. It's like
yeah,
my,
they,
it's
a the lot edgiest, of the songs are heavy.
It's the edgiest I can go. So speaking of tradition, Rebecca's gonna tell us about a tradition near and dear to everyone's heart called keeping WMFO freeform.
Here's our PSA.
No, I hate the word PSA. No, it's not a PSA.
This definitely is not a PSA. This is a call for help. Give us money.
I was trying to avoid using the word PSA. Rebecca, take
it. Okay, so with Thanksgiving and giving, here we go. Why is WMFO freeform? Well, it's been our tradition now for more than 45 years, and none of us here at WMFO want to see that change anytime soon. Do you? If not, we need your help to keep WMFO freeform by contributing to our annual donation drive. Anytime before November 14th, go over to donate.wmfo.org to support WMFO in reaching our $5,000 goal. You will even receive a unique thank you gift. To see more about what our DJs have to say about keeping WMFO freeform, visit facebook.com/WMFOMedford and share with your friends using the hashtag #KeepItFreeform.
That was so beautiful.
Wonderful.
I especially loved the part where you said anytime before November 14th, and I looked and saw it was the 17th.
Oh.
I don't think we will ever stop taking your money.
I was just like,
I don't know. I think donations are still up. If you go to WMFO.org, you can still see the donations
okay,
link.
This is a good transition into something I wanted to talk about, which is this idea of Thanksgiving being like, quote unquote, the time to be grateful, the time to be thankful. Just like November 14th is the time to donate to WMFO. What do we think of, I know Noah, you were telling me earlier your thoughts on Thanksgiving as a one-time holiday.
Yeah, I think something we do a lot is like create these holidays to sort of like absolve ourselves. So we like Thanksgiving, we absolve ourselves of not being thankful to each other very often. So like, well, I just had a great Thanksgiving. I said thank you at my dinner table to all these people who were maybe with me, maybe they weren't. Like, if you say thank you to like the people who've like helped you along the way, but they're not eating dinner with you. Like, they don't get that thanks. And like, when you thank people, like, that can be meaningful. So like, we should thank people whenever they help us.
But do you think that Thanksgiving can kind of serve as this kind of like reset reminder? Like, I feel like for me, I'm like, oh my God, yeah, like I do need to be grateful more often. I do need to be thankful for more often. And it carries over past Thanksgiving. I'm not just like, well, that's done. And I feel like right now there's like kind of a big movement around appreciation and thankfulness and gratitude. Like, they've done studies that if you have the gratitude, if you like write what you're thankful for every day, it does X, Y, and Z to your mood. And
like, it's just sort of like Teacher Appreciation Week, you know, it comes and it goes and like teachers get all these gifts, but then like we shouldn't stop appreciating teachers. And while the holiday I'm sure is really nice for them, like maybe we should like as a culture just like be more cognizant of like when it's appropriate to give thanks, which is probably a lot more often than we do now. And on Thanksgiving, giving thanks to somebody because it's expected, I think it's different. Like, it doesn't count as much because you kind of have to do it.
But I think it's an important time to really look back, and maybe then you can see the points where you should have said thank you and you didn't. But Thanksgiving is kind of that point where you get to look at your past year and things maybe you didn't think were important or you weren't appreciative at the moment, you realize now on this holiday when you get to stop and reflect that you really are thankful for a lot in your life. Or maybe there's a lot of things you want to change about your life because you're looking back and you're seeing this isn't, you know, what I was expecting or how my life is going. And I think it's important to have those days and moments where we set aside time to really be thankful and consider what we're thankful for, because it helps us, it helps like remind us of being thankful that I think, like you said, Mona, that we continue on forward after the holiday.
Yeah, I think for me at least, a lot of it has to do with how we frame the holiday. I think if, you know, as a culture, we're like, yep, Thanksgiving is the day to be grateful, period. No, there needs to be a kind of cultural shift. But I don't think, and I'm not saying this is what you were suggesting, Noah, but I don't think the solution is like, well, Thanksgiving is stupid, we need to be grateful every day.
Fair.
I think it's more that we need to, like Rebecca was saying, be like, okay, let's look at this as a moment to reflect and look forward and look back and then move forward.
It's like Earth Day, you know, like,
yeah,
we definitely should go out and pick up a bunch of trash on Earth Day and like have all these programs and like everybody really care about the Earth, but also like every day is Earth Day, as they say, which like so true.
Well, yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think it's like, that's so interesting when you're saying like Teacher Appreciation Week. I do think those are things that we can kind of incorporate habits into those holidays, like Earth Day, instead of having Earth Day be like go plant 50 trees. An Earth Day activity should be like make a list of what you're gonna do for the next month.
Yeah,
the Earth. Like, those, I think, are really, you know, with Thanksgiving, it might be a little hard. No, but, like, with Thanksgiving, it can be like, okay, like, wow, that was amazing. And, like, I'm here. Here's my Thanksgiving gift to you. It's a gratitude journal. Like, use it every day. Teacher Appreciation Day, it should be like, I guess that's harder. Yeah, maybe.
But it's nice to have a time where you are pointing out how special that person is.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, everyone can acknowledge it during that time. And I think it's nice. Everyone wants to feel special or appreciate it. And it's nice to have certain times where you designate that, which is even more than, I guess, the daily, like, thankfulness that you have.
I guess, I think, as always, the solution is a little bit of a balance, you know, yes. Like, use the holiday.
That is always our solution.
Use the holiday for good. But it's not the solution to climate change. There's no middle ground. We really need to do things, please, listeners, please.
Yeah, if we don't go one broadcast without mentioning that the climate is dying, we didn't do our job.
We failed. Mona Noah saved the world. The world is a big part of... climate is a big part of the world.
Oh, my God. That is interesting, though, the Earth Day thing. I'm curious.
I do think a lot of people are like, I cleaned up yesterday. I can litter, maybe not I can litter today, but people.
But they're like, oh, okay, I planted a tree.
You know, I did my share. And it's like, no. Every day there's a share to do.
Okay, well, we're going to do some Earth Day reform on this show. Yeah, I hope we have this show on Earth Day.
I would love that.
That'd be amazing. Okay, so very interesting. We've gone through some pretty interesting things. I know we wanted to talk a bit about kind of societal
norms.
I was hesitating to say it because I was like, say, I feel like we said
cover
it. Did we cover it? Basically, no one. I want to play this beautiful song, and we're looking for a way to frame it in. But I think we should just play it because it's beautiful. It does tie into things we were talking about. We've been talking about cultural pressures, the idea of expectations and expecting something to be perfect. We've talked about family. And we just feel this is a really powerful song that kind of brings together some of those themes. So let's just play it. This is That's the Way I've Always Heard It Should Be by Carly Simon. Shout out to my piano teacher, Paul, for... no, my God, not Paul. Eric.
Oh, my God.
Paul was my other piano teacher.
Sorry. Let's be thankful for all the piano teachers.
All my piano
teachers. For all of the people sharing music with the next generation.
Yes.
Thank you.
This specific song was shared to me by Eric, not Paul. Okay, enjoy it.
Enjoy it. This is That's the Way I've Always Heard It Should Be.
My father sits at night with no lights on. His cigarette glows in the dark. The living room is still. I walk by, no. Just me first by myself.
Beautiful song, Mona.
Really, really beautiful song. Thanks to Eric. I think it kind of sums up this idea of there's this societal expectation of what a family looks like, raising a family. But, you know, Carly Simon is looking back at her own family and thinking, in eloquent terms. So there is one aspect of Thanksgiving that we have not yet discussed that's very important to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
That is the history behind Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. which, again, in
American holidays don't have good histories.
Yeah, really not. Personally, I think the history behind Thanksgiving is so interesting because, you know, it was always looked at as like, yay, the Native Americans and the Pilgrims came together, had a meal, woo. Then it was looked at as, oh my God, that was totally wrong. Like, we need to really be examining this. You know, the mass genocide of Native American people, like...
Almost an understatement to say mass genocide.
Mass genocide is an understatement. So then I feel like it was kind of a cultural shift towards that. And then I read a book for AP US History about the history of the Pilgrims. It's called mm-hmm. Mayflower. And in this book, he says that the first Thanksgiving was very harmonious, very peaceful.
Yeah.
Both sides, you know, both sides, quote unquote, both the Native Americans and the Pilgrims had done some, wronged each other in some ways, but it was at that point still kind of pretty even. It was like, you did this to me, I did this to you. We're both trying to mm-hmm. coexist on this land where there's more cooperation than harm. And I think that's so interesting because I feel like now it's like that's not even, I feel like, known anymore. It's assumed that the first Thanksgiving was just, you know, at least...
I know, my perception has always been that, like, it did start out good.
Okay.
But then it...
Maybe it was just
sort of definitely just got worse and worse.
Maybe in my circles it was just became too extreme. But I think it's so important to recognize that it was good at first and then ask, okay, well, then what happened? Where did it go? Where did it go wrong? According to this book, where it went wrong is that either the children or the grandchildren of the original Pilgrims became greedy as mm-hmm. people become, and they were like, why are we making, like, why are we just settling for this? We should be doing more. And the grandparents were like, no, we're coexisting peacefully. And they were like, nah. And well, the rest is history.
Yeah. Or you could look at it that, you know, the Pilgrims came in as a colonizing force, and mm-hmm. their initial contact is, you know, the wrong. And so it's nice that we have this holiday that is about the coexistence, but when you look back at the historical legacy of the settlers coming to the United States, you know, it's great we have this one day where there's this peace, but the narrative, except for that one day,
yeah.
is not a peaceful coexistence.
Yeah. But to me, it's like, what could have been? And then I guess it couldn't have been, because as you were saying, it was rude. From the beginning, they mm-hmm. came to colonize, but...
And the spread of disease and illness and death.
Which, I mean, to be fair, to some capacity, was not intentional. Smallpox blankets,
yeah.
definitely intentional.
No.
But, like, first contact, you don't know necessarily that someone's there and that they're vulnerable to your diseases. And trust me, I'm not a fan of colonialism or imperialism at all.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't think we can say, like, the Pilgrims immediately wanted all of the Native Americans to die of disease.
It seems from this book I read that the original thought was more like, we'll have our community and they'll have their community. And, like, again, there were still many issues. There was still, like, racism, whatever, discrimination. I didn't mean to say whatever after racism.
oops.
But I don't know. It is interesting that it does raise the question, like, how do we celebrate Thanksgiving respecting its problematic history?
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't know the answer to that, because we just had this whole discussion about how wonderful it is, and here's this family about being, I mean, here's this
I mean, I definitely think there's a difference between modern Thanksgiving, and I think it's changed.
I know,
definitely.
But how, like, is there a, don't we still need to reconcile the problematic past?
I mean, like, Christopher Columbus Day, we've definitely done that. We've been like, this is just too much of a mess. Because, I mean, like, it's not like good things were happening on Christopher Columbus Day.
Yeah, we haven't replaced it
with some, like, good thing where we, like, I don't know, don't cut off people's hands.
I know, but it's hard because it's like, how, you know, when we're celebrating with our families being thankful, is there a way to kind of incorporate some sort of, like, historical reckoning? I don't know. Yeah, like, I genuinely don't know.
It's really difficult to overcome the history, but I think the important thing is that we can always learn lessons from history, and Thanksgiving should also be a day where we are thankful for the fact that we should be moving forward, and we should be working to a world that looks different than when, you know, settlers were fleeing religious persecution to come to the United States, and then, but with their fleeing, they were harming the Native Americans and a whole civilization, whole populations, whole, you know, nation,
ways of life,
and ways of life.
Culture,
so
art.
I think what we need to move forward with is like working to live with different people and like moving forward with history and not repeating these same mistakes.
I mean,
and that's all we
today,
can do.
Today, there are people seeking asylum in America, and we, I mean, the pilgrims came here seeking religious freedom and a lot of freedom from tyranny and just the ability to sort of like live the way that they wanted to. And I think maybe some parts of the past we need to consider and think maybe there's meaning here, and maybe nowadays we should say, well, this is how it all started, how have we changed, and maybe we should be more open. And I mean, if people are seeking asylum,
so much happening, so much,
a tricky political world.
Yeah, it is.
But you, as a person, do have power. You can engage in protest. You can
yes. Oh my gosh.
Be disobedient. There's big thing going on today, a climate change thing in London. This big group, I think called, the name's something Extinction. I think it might be Climate Extinction. Don't cite me on that. They blocked bridges, going 5 main bridges going out of London. With their bodies, people went out and did this, and it's sending a message to the English Parliament, I guess, that like, hey, you need to do something about climate change, or we're not just going to sit by and let this happen. If you feel passionately about people seeking asylum, if you feel passionately about a number of things, nobody can control your thoughts and your actions. You can go try to make change.
Yeah, yesterday I finished my class. I was so tired. I was
yes,
so bored
with
my class. I was like, I need my nap immediately. My nap was in my Google Calendar, 3:30 to 6:30 p.m.
3 hours of napping, Mona.
In my calendar, I was like, I am taking this goddamn nap. So then I was walking down the hill, because Tufts is a hill, and I was walking to my dorm, and I saw that there was a rally going on to support the dining hall workers at Tufts and their fight for a fairer contract. And I saw Noah, and I was like, oh my God, Noah, hey. So I kind of like, you know, I kind of joined. I was like, oh, like, this is so cool. And Noah was like, yeah, this is like really important. And then someone gave a really big, you know, this like starting speech of, we're here, we're unbreakable, and like, we're gonna show the administration that we support the dining hall workers, and we're all gonna march uphill to Blue Hall, and we're gonna do that. And I was like, I turned to Noah and I said, oh, that's too bad. I'm actually going downhill right now. I'm actually going to my nap. So you guys, and he just kind of looked
enjoy
at me and I just kind of looked at him, and he was like, you're gonna go take a nap while we support this important cause? And I was like, it's just like, your guys are going uphill, I'm going downhill. He was like, you're gonna come with us. And I was like, yeah, I don't really see how I'm gonna go take my nap now. Like, we're unbreakable. So, you know, I was kind of nervous, I was apprehensive. It wasn't, you know, I don't know if I've ever participated in like a protest before.
Never too late to start.
I went with Noah, and I was shocked at the empathy and care and consideration of the students here. I was like truly moved. People gave speeches about like, you know, about their own experiences working in the dining hall. Students gave speeches about their support for the cause, and it was just really wonderful. Like, it was It was great. I'm really glad I went.
If you're listening, Tufts Administration, come on. I was holding a sign that said, Tufts, be better.
It was crazy to hear these employees saying, it was clear how much they cared about the students.
I've worked here 8-10 years.
Yeah,
I love when people come back and I remember them.
I know, it was, and like the students were, it was clear how much empathy the students had, and I was like, this is something that should be applauded, there shouldn't be this issue, like, mm-hmm. you know? I don't know.
It's also maybe going back to earlier ideas of every day should be a day you're thankful for. You know, protests are these really, really powerful moments where people are together, they're in support. It's afterwards, I think there's this really great feeling mm-hmm. of wanting to accomplish something.
Very true.
A protest is only powerful when it creates action mm-hmm. later,
we'll
and it creates change.
Back.
Yeah, so, we always end with back. We'll be back.
Yeah, so and I was like, I will totally go back. This is awesome.
Yeah, so I think we need to focus on protest and how you move forward and how mm-hmm. you change your thoughts into actions and how that is something you can do every
Good advice.
Day.
You can, every time you use a meal swipe, if you're a tough student or wherever, anytime you go get food, it's so easy to say thank you to mm-hmm. the people who are feeding you and keeping you alive.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. That is such a hopeful note to end on, and
I agree.
I'm so glad.
I agree.
Think we covered so much. I'm so proud of us. Mm-hmm. We did amazing.
Yes.
Rebecca, you are a star.
It's so great to have guests.
Love it.
I'm so glad you invited me on and let me join in your program.
I said during one of the songs, I was like, Rebecca, you're like Noah, but I agree with you. Like, this is great. Like, no. Thank you to our listeners, as usual.
Thank you, always, yes.
And
say thank you to people, not on Thanksgiving. Say it every day. Say it because you mean it.
Whatever your Thanksgiving traditions are, or if you don't have any, that's okay too. Have a beautiful Thursday, November 22nd, 3rd.
Have a beautiful every day.
And a great Thanksgiving.
And we will not be here next week.
Yes, we won't be here next week.
Maybe someone will sub. Maybe you will hear someone is.
Yes.
Very exciting.
We're so happy for them. Thank you so much.
Hopefully they put on a great show.
They will. It's going to be great. But we'll be back after
Thanksgiving. We'll be back.
We'll be back. We're going to end with the Thanksgiving theme from Charlie Brown. Happy holidays to everyone.
Yes. Have a good Thanksgiving. Celebrate everything you're thankful for and keep those thoughts in your head even after Thanksgiving.
We're grateful for you, listeners.
Yes. This is Mona and Noah Save the World, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Have a lovely weekend.
Bye.
Goodbye.